But I asked Bennett, I said, what's the word legacy mean? And he means it's something we leave behind. And I said, you mean like trash? And actually, it can be that. Everybody leaves a legacy. It could be a bad legacy. It could be a great legacy. I ran into the word legacy the other day at Chick-fil-A. All right, and this is interesting. Because I go over there and I'll get, and our small group knows this, I'll get hash browns and a senior Coke with no ice. $1.87. That's breakfast, right? Coke with no ice is supposed to be free, senior. But they don't call it the senior Coke. You know what they call it? The legacy discount. I love that, all right? So legacy, where's the word legacy? So I had a couple, here's some of my youth moments here, my middle school moment, youth moment. And let's see, I picked on Hampton last week, Harley, and so this one's yours. What day of the week are chickens, since we're talking about Chick-fil-A, what day of the week are chickens afraid of? Friday. I think people helped you on that one, didn't they? Yes, I could hear that. So, and now Boone is right here. Boone, question. You like these little jokes? You hear these things? All right, so which side of the chicken has most feathers? That's a tough one. This is a tough one. All right. You ready for the answer? The outside of the chicken has most feathers. And I was at KFC, and I said, you know, I was ordering chicken leg, and they said, which side? And I had to think about that. I said, I guess the right side. They said, no, like mashed potatoes or green beans. Yeah, so, you know, I see. Is that all of them, Jason? I think that's it, man. That's all right there, yeah. So legacy. Well, the word leg came up too, didn't it? Yeah. So how to leave a legacy. We're going to talk about four areas, not just dads. This is everybody. This is everybody. But fathers, particularly today, this is your day. And so, you know, you're either going to leave a legacy that will be, I would say, I'd start with a legacy of emptiness and hurt and just being lost, or you can leave a legacy of abundant life, amazing grace, and unspeakable joy. That should be our goal as Christians. What is our goal? Look at this first verse here, and I will say this. The Bible is broken down into different types of literature. Most of you know this. This is a review. But you've got history. You've got letters to the churches that Paul wrote. You've got wisdom literature. And it's just wise sayings. And that's kind of what today's message is. This is not a historical message. This isn't a verse by verse, let's look at something that happened in the life of Jesus. This is a message about wisdom and how do we live out what it means to be a Christian father, mother, family member, a Christian as a wise person. Look at this verse, Proverbs 13:22. A good life gets passed on to the grandchildren. I look back at my two grandfathers were very different. One of my grandfathers I never knew. My dad really never knew his own father that much. He was very young when his dad left and actually passed away at a young age from alcoholism. That was my dad's father. So my grandmother, a godly woman, raised him as mother and father. We were talking about that a while ago. Many of you have that role as the Christian leader in the home, as a mother and a father figure. And, of course, my dad's been a pastor for went into the Navy and one day went up to his captain of the ship. He was like second in command on one of his ships, but he went up to the captain on this ship and said, and I guess it was the chaplain. He went up to the chaplain and said, hey, God's calling me to preach out in the middle of the ocean. Yeah, kind of like Paul, I guess, out there on a trip. And he said, all right, you're preaching at chapel next Sunday. That's a quick turnaround, isn't it? So my dad has been a pastor ever since, 91 years old. I was just talking about this morning. He's been in the hospital. He's in some rehab right now, getting over COVID. But he can't wait to get back to church. That's his whole thing. I can't wait to get back home. I got to get back to church. He leads Bible study. He leads a worship service in a nursing home. And it's so great to hear that he just can't wait to get back into God's work at 91 years old. On the other side, my mom's dad, Barton Massengill, there's a building in Middlesbrough, Kentucky, named after him because he started the rescue squad for that area, worked with the Kentucky Utilities, but a great Christian man. He and my grandmother, we called her Nana. That's his son. He was Dada, she was Nana. There you go. When you're doing a funeral, you always ask, what do the grandkids call the person who has passed away? And so their twin daughters, when they were like a year or two old, had polio. And my grandmother, my Dada and my Nana, they knelt down beside the couch there in their house, and they prayed and said, God, if you will save these two little girls, we absolutely dedicate their lives to you. And they prayed that prayer, and those two little girls recovered. My aunt retired many years ago. She's in heaven now. My mom's in heaven now. She retired as a 35 or 40-year missionary to Japan. She went as a full-time missionary. They told her, they said, now, if you go over there as a single lady, you will never get married. The first American she met was my uncle in the Air Force, and he became a missionary as well. My mom knew that she wanted to become, she felt God calling her to be the wife of a pastor. Now, that's a weird calling, isn't it? That's a tough one. Wife of a pastor, that's a tough job. So, sure enough, she meets my dad, she marries him, they go to Michigan, start a church up there, was a wife of a pastor all those years. And so that was a dad who really truly believed in prayer and dedicated those children to God's work. So I had two very different types of grandparents, but this verse talks about good life gets passed on down to children and grandchildren and through the generations. You probably have similar stories in your life. Many of you have grandparents who were a great Christian influence on your life. And we don't want to lose that. We don't want to lose that in our society here today. Another verse here in Psalms, as we said, looking at some of the wisdom, a righteous man will be remembered forever. A righteous man will be remembered forever. I was looking at Facebook yesterday or last night really late, and a couple of guys, I know Jack Kerr and Mike Harris, some guys up in Tennessee, were writing dedications to their fathers. And it's impressive to go through and read how God used their fathers, and sometimes it was the mother who had to take over the role of the father to kind of step in and be that Christian influence. And then he said, when I got married, my father-in-law became a great Christian influence as well and helped him learn the things that he should be doing as a dad. Now, he has identical triplets. I think I've told some of you this story. Jocelyn, Jacqueline, and Jessica. Triplets. Identical triplets, nonetheless. So I was trying to learn their names, right? So I took a week back in, here it is, Jason, back in the day, we had the old Polaroid. You know, you shoot the photo and, it comes out and you look at it. So I took a photo of them with their, and the only way I could tell them apart was by their glasses. Each one had different glasses. I memorized them, learned them. And Steve, you know what happened? They got contacts. Messed me up, I'll tell you. But to this day, it's neat to watch the life that they're living. Let's talk about four areas where you dads and grandparents and moms and all of us can leave a good, strong legacy for Christ. The first one is to speak with integrity. To speak with integrity. And it breaks down three areas of integrity: telling the truth, keeping your word, and practicing what you believe. In other words, not being hypocritical. That's a tough one. Somebody said, I'm not going to church. It's a bunch of hypocrites. Well, come on in. There's room for one more. Right? None of us actually do everything we believe. Only Jesus, I mean, he's the only one who's able to do that. So we're all hypocritical at some point, but we ought to practice what we believe. It's all summarized in the word trust. You build trust in your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your workers, everybody around you, your friends, by doing these things, telling the truth, keeping your word, and practicing what you believe. Trust. Have you ever had anybody say, I don't trust anybody? Have you ever had, maybe you felt that way. When somebody says that to me, I say, what'd you have for breakfast? I'll say, cereal and milk, maybe a Pop-Tart. I say, well, did you see him put that cereal in the box? Did you see him put milk in that carton? How about the Pop-Tart? You trusted somebody when you ate breakfast. Trust is one of those things we don't think about it a whole lot, but we have to work on building trust. Not only do we earn trust, too, by doing these things, telling the truth, by living out what we believe. And when we say we're going to do something, doing it. Let's look at these verses that go with it. Proverbs 17:7, respected people do not tell lies. Here we go. You've heard it said. Now, where do liars go? Somebody said Washington, D.C. Some people laughed at that, yes. Why can't... Okay, here we go. Let's see. Who do we pick on this time? Let's see. The Lauren, are you ready? Why can't we trust atoms and molecules? Now, you're a scientific person. Do you know? Because they make up everything. Hey, that wasn't too good, was it? All right. That one fell flat. So here we go. Keep moving. And honesty, if you listen to this, Billy Joel is a great singer, great piano player, but some of his songs are not good as far as the message. Like Only the Good Die Young, and what's the other one? There's a couple, My Life. It's very arrogant, you know, type thing. But this song has a meaning to it. I want you to hear this. Honesty. If you search for tenderness, it isn't hard to find. You can have the love you need to live, but if you look for truthfulness, you might just as well be blind. It always seems so hard to give. Honesty is such a lonely word, and mostly what I need from you. I can always find someone to say they sympathize if I wear my heart on my sleeve, but I don't want some pretty face to tell me lies. All I want is someone to believe. Honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. Honesty is hardly ever heard, and mostly what I need from you. Imagine that being said from children to parents and grandparents. I just want you to be honest. Tell me the truth. And that's a challenge. Proverbs 25:14, take that one about keeping your word. People who promise things they never give are like clouds and wind that bring no rain. I looked up, I was trying to find for Charleston, but somehow it popped up as Lexington, South Carolina, Richland County. The records go back all the way to 1948. They had 36 straight days without rain from October 9th to November 12th back in 2016. Can you imagine being a farmer during that time? Not many of us maybe are farmers here, but you know, if you're out there and you haven't had rain all that time and all of a sudden here comes a cloud on the horizon and you started getting hopeful. Rain is coming. Rain is coming. And then just goes on by. That's what it feels like, the scripture tells us here, when somebody promises you something and you count on it and it doesn't happen. Well, it's a letdown. And that's why it's important for us to, when we promise things, to write it down. Check them off, you know. Somebody was given a challenge, they said, in their company, if you come up with the best idea for our company, we'll give you $10,000 for it. They came up with all kinds of different things, and the guy that won the $10,000, all he did was say, at the beginning of the day, write down a list of things that you need to do and check them off all day. How simple is that? $10,000 for that? But that's sometimes when we promise somebody we're going to do something, check it off, finish it out. I tell you, a big one is when you tell somebody you're going to pray for them. You ever do that, and then you just say, oh, did you pray for me about that? Maybe even just say, hey, let's take a minute and pray right now. If you've got that person right there with you, and you are on the phone or wherever you are, and say, hey, let's pray about this. And just pray with them on the spot. Then in Psalm 101, verse 2, it says, I will try to walk a blameless path, but how I need your help, especially in my own home where I long to act as I should. Practicing what we believe. The tongue in our shoe ought to go the same direction as the tongue in our mouth, right? We ought to be saying and doing the things that we really believe in. Follow through. And if we do that, we build trust. You know, it's important to have good theology, and it's important to have a good belief system, because if we're really trying to follow bad beliefs, it leads to bad behavior. I'll never forget the pastor up in Tennessee. He said, 12 hours, 24 hours of Christian living is worth 1 hour of hearing a sermon. He said, hearing a message and doing a Bible study is great, but going out and living it is so important to apply the things that we're talking about. So speak with integrity, speaking with integrity. Number two, serve with intensity. Now, it's funny here because the other night I was, Casey, I don't know if she told you, I was at the little restaurant where Cameron works. And I was working on the sermon. I went in there. I had my notes out there. And I pointed to it, and I said, serve with intensity. She's a server, right? I said, there it is. Serving with intensity. What does that mean? Well, let's talk about this. Look in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 22. It says, you will earn the trust and respect of others if you work for good. Proverbs is one of those books, folks. I'm telling you, if you pick up Proverbs and every day just read one of them, I say pick out whatever day of the month it is. What's the 19th today? Read Proverbs 19. You're going to get 20 or 30 bits of wisdom. Boom, boom, boom. And it will hit you, and one of them's going to jump out at you and say, that's something I need to work on. Proverbs is a great way to read your Bible every day, whatever day of the month it is, and work for good. In this case, is the challenge. And Paul writes this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Great wisdom. You know, Paul was a tent maker. You know, he's had to work out there and make an income to do his mission work. And he's saying, hey, whatever you're doing, do it for the Lord. If you're writing a paper, I wrote down all kinds of things here, writing a paper. If you're playing a ball game, if you're at work working with a customer, if you're on the phone trying to help somebody, if you're typing up something, if you're working in the sound booth, if you're singing a song, whatever you do, do it for God. Now, here's part of the problem. Our young people many times are taught to get good grades and do well for mom and dad. That's okay. But what if you say, you're doing this for God? You're going to school. You're going in there to study and study hard, not just for us, not just for yourself. You're doing this for God. Because one day, you're going to be, let's say you're working on the sound system. Thomas back here working with the sound. One day, you're going to be at a camp, and all the workers are going to walk up front, and they're going to say, hey, can you do the sound system for a few minutes? And if you've been working hard at it and doing it for the Lord, no problem. And that's what happened the other day. So there's great opportunities for us. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. It says here, as we go through teaching our children to work for God, reminding them that what they do, they're doing it as a child of God. I was talking with Stan over here a minute ago, and some of you may have seen this. The Indianapolis Colts have a defensive back last week. He's played 3 years in the NFL. He's made around $3 million. Pretty good amount. This year, he was scheduled to make about $2.54 million as a starting defensive back for the Indianapolis Colts. He told his coach, "I'm leaving. I'm stepping away. I'm going to become a full-time pastor. God's called me to something else." In the middle of his career, this guy's had 4 interceptions. He's a starter on the team. They're planning defense around his abilities. Kerry Willis is his name, went to Michigan State. They were counting on him as a football player, but guess what? God had bigger plans. Can you imagine the testimony of this guy speaking to young people, maybe in the all around the country? He said, "Hey, it's not all about the money. It's not all about the prestige. God's called me to be a pastor. Whatever I do, work at it as for the Lord." And then this verse in John chapter 6 says this: "Don't work for food that spoils. Instead, work for the food that lasts for eternity, for eternal life." The temporary versus the eternal. Think about all the things that won't last: fame, status, pleasure, and power. All those things will fade. And I think Kerry Willis figured that out. All this is going to fade. What will last? Truth. And the people that we'll take to heaven with us. The things of God will last. The things of this earth will fade, just like rust and moth, and they corrupt it and it's gone. We trivialize the ultimate and we ultimatize the trivial. Belief in God, according to a new Barna, I think it was a study came out, said a belief in God right now is at the lowest level maybe it's ever been. That's scary. I wonder why we're having problems in schools, at work, a crime wave, discord and fighting. Because we've pushed God out of our society, and we need to remember what's important as a country, as a world. And we need to remember that God is a central part of life itself. I remember this book that came out. It's called Who Changed the Price Tags? I've shared this before. These guys broke into a department store. They didn't steal anything. They just switched all the price tags. So, Sharon, you go in there on Monday, and you go in there and you find a refrigerator for 10 cents. But the bubble gum is $800. Something's wrong. That's a picture of our society, though. Think about what's important to people. Think about what we put the high price tag on and what we've really put down here as a low emphasis. You know, I would say, hey, the church ought to be packed today, right? Every dad that's a hero, we see it out on the sign. If you're a hero as a dad, you're bringing your kids to church. But we've put that kind of down a little bit. We've put it down here. It ought to be raised back up. Who changed the price tags? Third thing, give with generosity. You saw it right there in the video. Saw the guy out there, took him some food, a drink. Godly people, 2 Corinthians 9:9 says, godly people give generously. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. Dr. Robert R. Turner, English professor at Carson Newman. I don't remember a lot of what he taught. I was an English major, but I don't remember a lot of his lectures. I do remember his laugh. He was a funny guy. Looked kind of like Santa Claus. He was teaching. But I remember this. When my Nana, I mentioned a while ago, my grandmother passed away, he came over to me and he said, "John, sorry to hear about your grandmother. I know your mom's coming down, stay a day with you, then go to the funeral. Here's $10 to take her to lunch." Now, $10 back then would be a nice lunch. Today it'd be like that hash brown and legacy discount, right? So $10 from a professor in a college to take your mom to lunch. Why do I remember that? Out of all the experiences in college, of all the things that have happened through the years, some 40 years, whatever long it's been, why do I remember that? Because here was some generosity and love shown. That the good deeds will never be forgotten. If you do kind things to folks. Look at Psalm 112, 9. It says, he who gives generously to the needy and shows kindness will be powerful and respected. You're going to hear in a minute why you don't want to just constantly say, hey, I'm powerful and respected. You want to be humble. But those are some results of being generous. In Proverbs 11:25, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Have you ever noticed that the people who are generous are they tend to be happy folks? And we were sitting there the other night at the restaurant, and I was looking for a photo of Scrooge after he became generous. You know, all the pictures you see of Scrooge are this mean, nasty-looking guy. Just, he's a miser. He's mean. You know, poor little, what's the little boy's name? Tiny Tim, and he's crippled, and he's making his dad work on Christmas, all this kind of stuff. He's just a miser and a mean guy. I said, well, I want a photo of him after he became a generous. I found one photo, and it showed him kind of carrying Tiny Tim with a big smile on his face. So what happens when we change from being that miser or miserable, there you go, to a generous person? There's a joy that comes into your life. The Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea is a great illustration. The Dead Sea only takes water in. It doesn't give out. It's dead. The Sea of Galilee flows into the Jordan River, gives, 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 and it is full of life, full of life. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will be refreshed. Proverbs 3, 27, 28, whenever you are able, do good to people who need help. Don't say, come back later, I'll give it to you tomorrow. When God prompts us to do something to help somebody out, we should respond. As Jesus said, take care of today, plenty of needs for today, and don't worry about tomorrow, which we're not guaranteed. But there are times we run into somebody that we can help and to go ahead and help them. I've told this story to our small group and to the youth group. I was in a worship service. We had a refurbishment plan going on in the church up in Tennessee. And we had testimonies about giving. And so Mike Harris, the guy I mentioned earlier, he got up and gave this testimony. He said, you know, our tithe one week was supposed to be such and such amount, and we didn't have it. We didn't have it in the bank. He said, I talked to my wife, Brenda, and he said, we went ahead and wrote the check. He said, we're going to go ahead and give that out. Now, he didn't know this, but I'm sitting right back behind him there. I had run into the same thing that week, and I had come up $20 short, Jason. And I didn't put it in the offering. I did not have the faith that Mike Harris had. And so it's almost like writing across my head as I'm sitting up there, $20, $20, $20. As soon as the service ended, this is amazing. Some of you have heard this story. Corky McGowan owns a restaurant there in Cleveland, Tennessee. As soon as that service ended, I kind of stepped around. I don't want to step on Jason's equipment. I stepped down from the pulpit like this. He had already walked down the aisle, came right straight up to me and said, God told me to give you this. And he handed me $20. Whew. I said, where's the offering plate? There it is. Those are things that, I don't know, folks, if you want to have an exciting and adventurous life, give. that's all I can say. If you give, you can't outgive God. Let's put it that way. You cannot outgive God. Give with generosity. Last one, succeed with humility. Let's read these verses, Proverbs 29, 23. Arrogance will bring your downfall, but if you are humble, you will be respected. Don't be like old Leonardo DiCaprio in the front of the Titanic. I'm the king of the world, you know. Hey, we are servants. We are servants. Proverbs 27, 21 says, praise is the test of character. When somebody says something really nice about you, that's the test. How do you handle that? Do you start getting that inflated arrogance, or do you say, Lord, keep me humble? Proverbs 13:18, someone who will not learn will be poor and disgraced, but anyone who listens to correction is respected. Criticism from a friend, from a loved one, is like gold. When you have someone in your, maybe a spouse, a parent, a child even, that says, "Dad, you know, doesn't look good," or somebody tells you as a respected friend, "This is something we need to change." That's like gold, and we need to listen. Proverbs 13:7, a pretentious, showy life is an empty life. A plain and simple life is a full life. 'Tis a gift to be simple. 'Tis a gift to be free. 'Tis the gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend, we shan't be ashamed. To turn, turn will be our delight. Till by turning and turning, we come around right." That's a great song. 'Tis a gift to be simple. 'Tis a gift to be free. Do you know there's a, I listened to the version this morning by the cello player named Yo-Yo Ma. Yeah. Her career's really been up and down. But, yeah, had to say. Everybody wake up. I had to wake them up here at the end. So, yeah. Cello player, Alison Krauss sings it. You can listen to it. It's great. Last verse here, Proverbs 15:33. Humility and reverence for the Lord will make you both wise and honored. That's what dads should want, to be wise and honored. There's a great song, Ray Bolt sang this song called "Thank You for Giving to the Lord." It's like you're in heaven and you see these people coming up and saying, "Hey, because you prayed a prayer in Sunday school, because you gave an offering to a missionary, I'm here in heaven today." Tony Ellenberg, I'll finish with these couple quick stories. Tony Ellenberg had a birth defect where he limped his whole life. So he was a Christian singer. But he had this real bad limp, and one day he was out mowing the grass, and he heard on the window, somehow, I don't know how you hear on the window when you're mowing grass, but anyway, I guess he looked over and his wife was pounding on the window, and she pointed right behind him. And their little boy had his little toy mower out, his little lawnmower, and he was walking right behind his dad, pretending like he was mowing the grass with the same limp as his dad had. Our son Jeremy, I don't mention Jeremy, he's in China. He lives in Shanghai right now, but when he was little, one day we came out, I had bought my wife these beautiful plants. I thought they were real nice, these little bamboo plants, and I said, "Man, that's real nice." I come in, he has chopped them up. Taking like a oar or something, just wham, whoa. I got thinking, what in the world did he, and then I realized I had been out in the front yard earlier that day working on the trees, chopping stuff. And then, you know, you think about all the times like that. Rick Warren's dad, as he's on his deathbed, and he grabs Rick Warren, the pastor out at Saddleback. He grabs him by the collar and pulls him in. And he's on his deathbed and says, "Win one more." What? What's it? Pulls him in again. "Win one more." And then finally he finished the phrase. He said, "Win one more for Jesus." He's challenging his son. Don't ever stop witnessing and bringing people to Christ. So our challenge today, all these things that we mentioned, speak with integrity, serve with intensity, give with generosity, succeed with humility, and here's the biggest challenge. If you know somebody that's maybe helped you become a Christian, maybe that was a person that witnessed you, a grandparent, today send them a text message. Send them an email, maybe write them a letter, and just say, "Thank you. Thank you for bringing me to Christ, helping bring me to a knowledge of salvation." And second part, somebody you know that's not a Christian, I challenge you today to just send them a little text message and say, "Hey, I'm praying for you. And I'm a Christian, and I know I have a place in heaven, and I want you to have the same." That's the legacy that we want to leave behind. Let's pray. Father, today we thank you for our dads and grandfathers and all those who've been such a great part of our lives. As we've heard from our mission team, the video and the challenging video about leaving a legacy too, we thank you for that. Help us to go from this place not the same as when we came in, but to go from here with that challenge to speak the truth, to speak with integrity. Lord, remind us also to serve you and to serve just with great energy and intensity. Lord, we also pray that we will come to the point where we can talk to others about their faith in you, and we can share that with them. Lord, help us to give generously. Help us to always think of ways that we can help others. We love you and we thank you now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, as we come to our commitment time, as usual, a lot of ways that you can respond. You can come down here and pray with us. Maybe somebody here today says, I've never truly accepted that gift of eternal life. I need to know that I'm going to heaven and see my family again, see my grandparents or great-grandparents. Maybe someone needs to come up and just write a need or a thought on this on the cross. There's papers over here, a praise report, some sort of prayer request you want to share there, you can do that. Also, one of the most important things that we do is to remember that Jesus died on the cross for us. The blood, the body that was broken and the blood that was shed. And I challenge everybody not to do it lightly, but if you'd like to come to one of our stations here and think about what Jesus did for us, you can partake in communion and really spend that time talking to the Lord about how you can be that person he wants you to be. And that's what it's about. If you'd like to come and pray down here, you can do that. Pray with us. If you'd like to write something on that card that we talked about earlier, feel free to do that as well. And you can place it in the box. Jason, if you'll lead us, you're free to do whatever God leads you to do. Do it now. Robert mentioned a gentleman who was a part of the beginning of this church here, Jack Belcher, who passed away last week, you said? Thursday. So remember that family in your prayer. And obviously, as we say, if we say we're going to pray for somebody, we'll do that. We'll do that. So let's join together right here. Lord, thank you for this a great day in our world to honor fathers. And you know, so many young people today need that father who is committed to you. All the problems that we're seeing around our country, I know many of those things would be solved if the dads were fully committed to you, and we pray for that. Be with this family, Lord, that has had such a loss, and give them your strength and comfort right now. And we thank you that you are truly the chain breaker in our lives. We love you and thank you now. We pray it in Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen. Amen.